And welcome back inside the cave. Pat Hayes, John Kane with you this morning. And Tom apparently has overslept.
Could be.
I'm going to text him.
Could be he had too much labor yesterday.
Too much labor.
Yeah, he got really tired. He had too much labor.
So. Okay. I'm just doing something here real quick.
Well, anyway.
Yeah. Michigan, of course, a big win. And here he is right now as we speak, Tom Crawford joining us, Mr. Podcaster himself from the Crawford Podcasting Network and Channel 47 out of Lansing. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Pat. It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine fan, right? You know, there's nothing wrong with a big opening win like that. But there's still controversy, is there not?
Yeah, there is. It just never stops. And, of course, we're talking about the quarterback situation. Cade McNamara not happy that he's not getting the start in game number two against Hawaii. And I know you were at the postgame press conference, and it was pretty evident that he wasn't very happy.
You know, body language is everything, Pat. And the arms folded, the tone, it's interesting. Post spring practice press conference, I remember vividly when the topic of the quarterback race came up. He never even referenced JJ, and I know JJ was hurt and everything, but there's been, I could tell this was building up. And what Jim Harbaugh always says, Pat, is that position, any position, is rented. The quarterback position is rented. You don't own it. And it's almost like that Cade thought that he had permanently owned it. He had earned it. Yeah, he played well in the offseason, and I get all that. But you compete every day. Peyton Thorne out here at Michigan State has a distant backup. But he says, I feel like I have to compete every day to win the job. That's the right approach in highly competitive athletics, in my opinion. And that was not portrayed by Cade McNamara on Saturday.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. There was, we'll just mention this in passing, there was something on social media yesterday. I think somebody was trying to be funny, had Cade going to the transfer portal, and were laughing about it. But that didn't get any steam and didn't go anywhere. But it's crazy. And, of course, JJ is going to get the start this week against Hawaii, a team that's given up 112 points in two ball games and only scored 27. So this is not going to be much of a contest. And for an 8 o'clock start, it's kind of ridiculous to me.
So what are we going to be pondering there, Pat, watching this? Well, I mean, what are we going to grasp out of this? And like, how do you break down film when you just had Western Kentucky hang 49 on you after Vanderbilt hung 63 on you? I mean, how do you evaluate an opponent like that? I mean, I just, you know, with JJ and you start throwing, I mean, yeah, maybe have him throw early on, but I mean, you can't keep throwing when it's, you know, when you're five touchdowns up, you know, early in the second quarter, which potentially it could be. I don't know. Sometimes you play to your level of competition, which concerns me, because these next two games with Hawaii and UConn before you jump into Maryland, which is a huge jump up, how does that prepare yourself? And I don't mean to go back into that whole rant that I did in the summer about the schedule, but this is when it's really glaring, especially when trying to evaluate quarterback play, when you're better off playing in practice against the ones at Michigan, which would be posing, obviously, a dramatically more challenge.
Well, Tom, one of the things I don't understand, really, is the fact that, I mean, everyone preseason was speculating. I mean, when McNamara got named the starter, everyone was speculating preseason that, you know, McCarthy would start against Hawaii anyway. And, I mean, I can understand him being upset, because I'm thinking that maybe by the time he gets into the game, all he'll be able to do is turn around and hand the ball off. And but, you know, all of us thought that McCarthy was going to get the start.
That's an excellent point. I mean, it's hugely awkward let's just say this, because, you know, and I thought if you're giving the other guy the start, why don't you jump to Alex Orji for the backup role, the mop up role, and you take that game, and then we'll take off this week, and then I'll take off this week, and I'll do it next week, that kind of thing. It was really strange that they brought JJ in there, so he kind of got a steroid shot on the competition. That was a designed play, that touchdown run. He looked terrific. The guy's a 4-5 and a 40. Okay. And I mentioned to you, Pat, you remember this, that, and also to Trevor Woods, our other bud on the other side of you in the press box, that when you saw that linebacker just freeze his feet on the mesh play on the RPO, because with J.J. McCarthy, one guy on defense has to worry about him. That takes one guy off the defense, completely eliminates him, okay? And you don't get that with Cade McNamara, because he does not pose that threat. And it showed with C.J. Stokes getting that big run. And it's like going 11 on 10 because they got to worry about J.J. That's the part of taking this offense to the next level.
Well, one of the things that we were concerned about Michigan going into game number one was the defense. And really, the defense, they were just absolutely all over the field on Saturday and really captivated people in the press box. I know they were very high on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, once again, Colorado State's not a juggernaut, obviously better than Hawaii and UConn, but you're right. I mean, we grab the optics of it. I mean, I don't care who you're playing against. I saw some speed at all three levels that, you know, more consistent speed of an increase than last year, even though last year's defense was obviously terrific. You had guys making plays. You know, Rod Moore had a big play defensively. I'm trying to think. Mike Sandersteel, is he the one that had the scoop and score?
Yeah.
Defense, you know, doing their job and making, you know, having fun out there, flying to the ball. I was impressed. We had a lot of names out there. I mean, there was probably 100 players played in this game total. That's the good thing. Morale-wise, it helps the team. You know, everybody's participating. You can play four games and still maintain your red shirt. So you're going to have some guys you can play in these games and they can still be a red shirt. So it's a pretty nice setup in that regard, but still, I think you and I and everybody else wishes they were playing a higher grade of competition.
Well, 84 players did make it into the ball game, according to Harbaugh, and he said, "I'd like to see 120 of them get in in this next game." So he's definitely going to play everybody on the bench, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's, you know, for a night game, this is the sad part. You're mentioning about the night game in Hawaii. I mean, the night games are at Michigan. You know, have this magical element to it when you get there. You know, and whether it's playing Minnesota in the night, you know, in the snow a few years ago, or Washington last year, which I thought was next to the Ohio State game, a pretty doggone vibrant crowd there. I mean, that they were into it. I remember like the Notre Dame game in the rain a couple years prior to that. Night games are special, and you're using your special night game for Hawaii. But let me say this, it's not going to be the only night game. There's another night game, and I think you know what one I'm talking about on October 29th.
Yes. That is going to be Penn State.
No, Michigan State.
Oh, that's on. Okay, that's right. I was thinking October 1st, but
yeah, October 29th. Yeah, okay. Yeah, October 1st they're at Iowa, and they're playing Penn State on the 15th. But the game, you know, from indications, Wolverine.com, some of the staff found out some permits are being pulled for here and there on infamous security and police force. All indications, night game.
Wow, that's going to be an interesting. an interesting game on, you know, both for Michigan State and Michigan fans.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great. And you know, I think it's the Michigan's advantage. I know from a logistical standpoint, both schools do not want the night game. There's so much energy, the alcohol consumption, all that stuff that goes with it. But other schools can do it. They can manage it, and Michigan can manage it, too.
Well, I just want to know who's going to head up the couch patrol. because
hey, they don't burn couches in Ann Arbor, though. You know,
no, they don't.
They don't do that.
No,
no. I was thinking they might still burn them in East Lansing, even though
the game is
who's on the couch patrol. So
that's been going on. I remember that first year, 1995, when that started. After that 28-25, and it was right in the Munn lot. I was tailgating over there on the Ralph Young Field. That was the first couch burning, and we're talking 27 years ago. Whatever it is, that's crazy.
And you're right, it is. But again, I mean, the Hawaii squad. One more thing to add to the fact that Hawaii is just doesn't have the talent. Number one, but you check Bill Connolly's returning production mark. Hawaii's dead last in the country at 131. It's just a situation that
and UConn preseason guys. UConn was like 122. I don't know what they are now. I haven't followed what UConn has done in week number one, but
That stat doesn't change. It becomes less relevant as you go further into the season.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, it's most relevant in week zero and week one. But, they're 131, and it's just like, wow. I don't know, what they're going to bring here. So, I mean, they got the best thing I think they got out of the Colorado State game is they came away relatively unscathed as far as the injury situation. That's what they're going to need for Hawaii as well.
Yeah, Ryan Hayes, hopefully he'll be back next week. Michigan State lost two starters on defense, and one's out for the season, and one, could miss a significant amount of time. So we're talking about Darius Snow and Xavier Henderson, so. Yeah, if you survive the injury bug each week, you're doing good, and you get the win, and you move forward. You know, guys, one more thing. When I was always been talking about, they'll be tested when they play Iowa. What do you think of that 7-3 game with no touchdowns for the Iowa Hawkeyes over South Dakota State to Jackrabbits? That game was 5-3 at one time. That team's not going to pose a threat to Michigan either.
They got two safeties. How in the world can you have a 7-3 ball game? I mean, you get two safeties. You must have been doing something right.
Well,
their punter was the MVP. I mean, he knocked down like five or six of them inside the 5-yard line. I mean, there's Iowa's, start slow, or that's not surprising, but wow, this offense looked pretty bad against an FCS school and the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. So I guess Michigan gets tested when they play Penn State on the 15th of October.
drawing this out further.
I mean, it's like, guys, I'm moving it back.
It's like half the season is a preseason here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't even have that opening day feel yet until they actually play a legitimate opponent. I'm obviously overstating that, but this is ironic. Of all the years, 78 years, they haven't played an FBS/Notre Dame school in their non-conference play. Why would it be this year coming off the Big Ten title and CFP appearance? I just don't get it.
Speaking of Notre Dame, they had a good game against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Your comments on that game?
Yeah, I was impressed by Notre Dame, and I thought Ohio State was still a good win for them. Jackson Smith and Jigba, they lost him. Hopefully that kid can come back. He's a great athlete. But Ohio State got their running game. Their defense under Jim Knowles from Oklahoma State really has ramped up. Ohio State's going to be good. So I don't think it's they didn't cover the spread, and Notre Dame hung in there, but Notre Dame was still the fifth-ranked team. Marcus Freeman is going to be a terrific coach. You watch. They just don't have any – they have minimal receivers, talent, and they just don't have a potent offense. And they hung around the chicken coop for a while, and their defense was good, but you knew Ohio State was going to survive that one.
Speaking of the poll, Michigan moves up to number 4 in the AP poll. Kind of surprised with that?
Hey, that's it. When you beat a Mount West team, man, that gets people's attention, right?
Well, just looking at UConn, they lost their first game to Utah State 31-20. They had a scintillating victory this last weekend over Central Connecticut State 28-3. I don't know. Are they Division II or III? I'm not sure.
No, they're not. Well, they're Division. You know, I mean, all those schools play FCS, which you know the 63 scholarship or Division I. That's sad. The more I look, I just don't want to look. It's like you're driving by a car accident. You want to look, but you don't want to look.
Yeah. Well, Tom, we are out of time on Inside the K. We certainly appreciate you being on with us again and all season long here on the Cave. And we'll see what happens at 8 o'clock next Saturday against Hawaii. Should be a real nail biter.
Yeah, it should, Pat. Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. I'll see you next week at 7:25.
All right, take care, Tom. Tom Crawford from the Tom Crawford Podcasting Network and Channel 47 out of Lansing. We'll be back after these words. You're Inside the Cave.